This morning, very briefly, on our Communion Sunday, I call your attention to the scripture that's preached more than any other scripture in the Bible. The parable that is more popular than any other parable in the Bible. A scripture that I have to preach from at least once a year. Not the same sermon, but I have to preach from it. So you can't never preach the same sermon if you know anything about preaching. But a scripture that I have to look at. It's for my own soul satisfaction. See, sometimes you have to preach to yourself. And that's what I have to do. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And see, this scripture always encourages me. We look at Luke chapter 15 this morning. And for your hearing, verse 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Our theme this morning would be runaway child. You may be seated. Runaway child. We want to talk very briefly this morning on that subject because in America, between 1.6 and 2.8 million children run away in the United States on an annual basis. And the sad thing about those numbers is that 75% of runaways are females. My Lord. If you count seven children in your presence, the statistics say at least one of them will run away. You know, when we look at serial killers like John Wayne Gacy, he preyed on runaway children because they were so vulnerable. And also he said that after they had run away for a while, no one would be looking for them. So he could kill them and bury them under his house up there in Des Plaines. Y'all remember when Gacy killed all of them. You know, and the statistics say that if a child runs away, in the next 48 hours, if something is not done to catch to capture that child will be in trouble after 48 hours on the street. So it's dangerous out there. It's the thing that I just dislike about runaways is that there's just so many of them. No matter where you go, we're going to find a runaway child. And as the temptations say, runaway child, they're running wild. So we look at our lesson text this morning. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and there were three things that got lost. The sheep got lost. Because sheep have small mouths and big stomachs, and they nibble themselves into lostness. And when they got away from the flock, that's when they are vulnerable. And that's what Gacy was saying, that when children get away from the flock, that's when they become vulnerable because they're run away. And then we see the shepherd left 99 sheep in the wilderness and went to look for the one. Brought him back. And then we read about the lost coin. The coin rolled into lostness. The lady stopped doing everything that she was doing in her house to search for the coin. But with the lost boy, on his own, he had looked at it and he saw that probably he had so many Facebook friends. Don't trust them Facebook friends. So he saw that the post that people had posted, and he saw that there could be a better life out in the world. See, sometimes the freedom that we have, we don't understand it. So he felt a need to leave his father's house because he felt he could be happy. He felt like he was in bondage in his father's house. But see, he didn't know nothing about bondage until he went out there in the world. And see, sometimes we don't understand bondage until the Lord. See, that's what he said in Romans chapter 1. He said he gave them up to reprobate man. See, and you see, you have not been whooped until God takes his hands off of you and allow your enemies to whoop you. When God turns you over, when God says, just leave them alone, leave them in the hands of their enemy. See, as long as God is whooping you, Reverend Curtis, he still got his hands on you. But when he takes his hands off you, oh, you in trouble. When God say, reprobate. So anyway, we look at this particular lesson text this morning. And in verse 11, it says, and he said, a certain man, Jesus was telling these three parables because the Pharisees has accused Jesus of eating and being with sinners. So Jesus decided to let them understand why he was always with sinners. And see, that's why we Christians, we just don't want to hang around with Christians. But I thank God that when there's an unbeliever living next door to me and I go to the marketplace and I see an unbeliever and I witness to an unbeliever, I just saw a lady this morning when I went to 7-Eleven. She said she's going to come to church. And I talked with her and she was in there trying to buy a lottery ticket, spending all that money. And I just had a talk with her. She told me she was 79 years old. You know, so she's going to visit the church. But that's what I'm saying, and she heard the man call me pastor. She realized that she needed God. She came over and started talking to me. But the thing about it, in this situation, a certain man, any man, you could put your name in there and say a certain man, he had two sons. And his sons was living with him at home. Now, if you read this text, this is a serious text. That's why it's so popular. The elder son represent the Pharisees, and he was lost at home. That's a whole nother sermon. But that's the serious one. But the young boy had just become reckless. He had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them up with him. See, the oldest son gets two-thirds of the father's wealth. And the younger son gets a third. But you see, the younger son said, give me mine now. I don't care if you are alive. I don't care what you're going through. I want it now. Give it to me. Oh, you've heard that. Children say, Mama, I don't care what bills you got to pay. I want it now. I want you to give me some money today. I don't care what's going on. Give me mine now. I told you this 3 weeks ago. You know, that's something. Mom, I told you I needed this money 3 weeks ago. Give it to me. Give me, give me, give me. I don't care what you got to do. Give it to me now. Boy, say, I don't care about you still being alive. I want my portion now. I got all these Facebook friends, and they want me to come out and post some stuff and be with them. I got some likes out there. Lord help us. And then he said he wanted to go there. And then he said he wanted what he had coming. And then that third verse, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance on righteous living. My Lord. Gathered all he had. And the Bible say that he went into a far country. Let me pause right here for a minute and tell you something about the far country. The far country is a place where there's no restraints. The far country is a place where you can do anything you want to do, as long as it feels good, do it. The far country is a place where you can spend all night at the crack house, and ain't nobody going to say nothing to you about it. The far country is a country where there's no monogamous relationship. Everybody is unfaithful to everybody. The fuck country is a place where they're having orgies and all kind of sexual transmitted diseases. The fuck country is a country where they are sharing the pipe together. The fuck country is a country where anything you want to do will go. The fuck country is a country where you settle your disputes by fighting like animalistic tendencies. The fuck country is a country where you can sleep as long as you want to. You can steal from anybody you want to steal from. The fuck country is a country where there is no restraints. He gathered everything that he had, and he went off into a far country. See, it get the name far country because he wanted to be as far away from his father's dictates as he possibly could. But he didn't realize what was going to happen in the far country. See, sometimes, I know sometimes young folk, you get tired of your parents telling you what time to come home and what time to be there and what time to do this and clean up your room and all this kind of stuff. And you start feeling yourself and saying, I'm grown and all that kind of stuff. I need to leave here. I can't wait till I get my own apartment. You know, it kills me sometimes. They say, I'll be glad when I get my own department. Lord help us. Don't even know the word. Sad situation. But in the far country, you may think you have a lot of friends. But in the far country, it's just like when I go over there to that park and feed those ducks, as long as I got bread, they're there. But the minute I give out a bread, they are gone. The far country. You got a lot of friends, but they're waiting for you to run out of money so they can leave you alone. They're only there because you're able to give them something. You don't have any friends in the far country. They'll stab you, they'll rob you, they'll stick you in the back. And I'm going to tell you, you got a whole lot of backstabbers in the far country. Let me pause right here and tell you something. Some people are not going to like you because they just don't like you. They ain't gonna never like you. 25% of the people you meet gonna like you, and they gonna always like you. The next 25% gonna like you, but they're gonna grow to unlike you. The next 25% are gonna not like you at first, but they gonna grow to like you. And the last 25%, they ain't gonna never like you no matter where they go. They not gonna like you because they just don't like you. And if you didn't get those numbers, you can get it on the tape. In the far country, there are no rules. There's nothing to govern your behavior. You can do anything. You can drink all night. You can sleep all day. You can have sex with anybody you want to have sex with in the far country. And in the crack house, they just flip their underclothes over. They don't even wash them. They don't take no baths in the crack house. They don't clean up in the crack house. All kind of transmitted diseases and airborne. The far country. And that's the place where you are dying to go to. So they say he wasted all of his substance on righteous living. And then it says, and when he had spent all that he had, there came a mighty famine in the land. Now you see, the Lord is always trying to teach us something. He had everything to dry up, and when the famine came, everything got tight. And since he didn't have any money, he didn't have any means of supporting himself. All the money that he had spent it, and he became wanting. That means that he became needing some of the mighty famine in the land, and he began to want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swines. Now, here's a Jewish boy. And in Leviticus, it tells you that Jews are not to have anything to do with the swines. But he sent this Jewish boy into to feed the swines. He went in there to start feeding the pigs, animals that Jews shouldn't even have anything to do with. But I'm going to tell you something about what can happen to you in the far country. People will take advantage of you. People will use you. People will dab you in doing things that you will never be able to do if you had stayed at home. And then it says, and when he fan had filled his belly, and the lust of the swines he did eat, no one gave unto him. They said no one gave him. He was out there begging, but no one gave him anything. He was in the far country, and he was feeding the pigs. And those cards that the pigs eat that's not even digestible started looking good to him. He almost ate the food that was there for the pigs. And then, and when he had come, and this is the thing, that no one looked for the boy. In order for the boy to go home, he had to come to himself. Yeah. And when he had come to himself, he said, I have many hired servants in my father's house, have bread to eat. And here I am perishing in hunger. Now, here's the thing about being in the far country. In order for this young boy to come to himself, I told you no one looked for the lady looked for the corn, the shepherd looked for the pig, but when the boy got lost, nobody looked for him. In order for the boy to come home, he had to come to himself. There had to be a revelation. He had to see what was at his father's house before he could come to himself. So he was in the pig pen, almost about to eat the food that was there for the pigs. See, sometimes I don't know what it's going to take for you. I don't know what it's going to take for you to go to the pig pen, but you're going to have to hit bottom. Sometimes you have to hit bottom until you're able to come to yourself. This young man had to come to himself in the pig pen. Yeah. And when he came to himself, then he started having a vision about what was at his father's house. He could see his father laying out all this food on the table, and he could see his father's taking care of his servants. He could see all of this good stuff that was going on at his father's house, and he said, now I'm gonna go to my father. He got up out of that pig pen. I don't know if he changed clothes or not. The scripture don't say it, but he just decided to get up out of that pig pen. What is it going to take for you to get up out of that pig pen and then go be to the Father? He got up out of that pig pen, and on his way home, he put a sermon in his heart. He put a song in his heart. He said, this is what I'm going to tell my Father when I get home. He said, first of all, I have sinned against heaven. Yeah. Every sin is first against heaven. He said, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against my father. And as he was walking home, rehearsing his speech, his father, who had been looking for him ever since he left. Oh, you know how it is. I know my mama used to watch us go to school until we went over the hill. You know how it is when you're looking. They were one of the most saddest things in the world, or when you keep looking for a lost child. That man would look for that boy every day to come from the far country. That man would look for that boy every day. That man didn't give up. His heart was broken. He would look for him every day. And when he saw that boy coming home, see, the boy thought he wanted freedom. But you don't understand freedom until you are shackled by sin. Until you are shackled by sin, until the world has come down on you and shackled you and tied you up and tangled you up in a sinful life. I'm talking about drug addiction. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about socially transmitted diseases. I'm talking about the sins of the world that had captured this boy. The sins of the world that's so prevalent in the far country. But he said, I'd had enough of this. I want to go home now. I want to go back home to be with my father. He said, Daddy, Daddy. He started crying out to his father. He started crying on his way home. He said, them Facebook friends just didn't work out. As he was rehearsing his speech, his father, who had been looking for him every day, saw him coming. Hallelujah. And they said, this old man, he started running to meet him. He didn't even hear the boy's speech. See, this man was so happy when his son came home. He didn't care about the speech. He didn't even ask him where he had been. He said, I'm just so happy that my son is home. He ran. He kissed him. He put a robe on him, which represented authority. He put a ring on his finger, and he put shoes on his feet. The boy said, listen, I don't even want to come back home as a child. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be a hired servant. And in those days, a hired servant was a laborer. Yeah. Just a common laborer. I just want to be a common laborer. Father said, no, I'm going to restore you back to your rightful place. And that's when he said, my son, who was lost, but now he's found. My son who lost his way, but now I love him and I'm going to give him unconditional love. This father represents God. God is here with open arms, ready to take you in, ready to help you to see that you've lost your way, but you got a loving, caring father that's waiting for you with arms wide open. Hallelujah. But I just want to come down for a minute to tell you why Jesus told this story. I want to tell you about the real prodigal. One day in heaven, they said the mankind had lost his way. They had sent many prophets, but they didn't make it. Moses killed a man. Jeremiah started weeping. David murdered and got caught up with Bathsheba. So he said, I'm going to have to send my son down for humanity. Jesus came through 42 generations and came down here, and he came from the Father. And the thing that hurt Jesus the most, the thing that he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he had a personal relationship with God. He would pray 5 hours a day to God. He had a personal relationship with God. He would talk to God in the morning. He would talk to God in the evening. He had this personal relationship with God, but it came up that he had to go to Calvary, and the biggest thing was going to happen in Calvary. He was going to have to be separated from his Father. He said, I don't know if I could take this thing being separated from my Father. But he said, I'm going to have to submit myself to sinful men, and they're going to have to treat me bad. I'm going to have to go to Calvary Cross, and I'm going to have to spend 3 days where the devil would torment me. I'm going to have to spend 3 hours, rather, where the devil would torment me. I'm going to have to spend 3 hours in darkness. I'm going to have to be separated with the Father. But he raised up 7 times. And in the last time, he said, Father, I submit my spirit to you. I'm submitting my spirit back into the hands of my Father. The last 7 words, the last thing he said on Calvary's cross, that he was going to go back to the Father, that he was going to lay his hands back in the Father. He said, listen, I'm back with my Father. I'm on the right-hand side of God now, helping and intercessing for you, James Shannon, and all of you that are out there. He said, but now I'm back with my Father. Nobody can ever hurt me again. Nobody can ever allow me. I don't have to go to Calvary. I conquered all of that. But now I'm back in heaven with my Father. I'm back at home with my Father where I was before. I laid down my promoter glory, but I pick it up now and be back with my daddy. I'm back with my daddy. That ain't nobody can mess with me now because I'm back with my daddy. I know Cecil can tell you, we played football in the big field right on the side of the house, and every time we would be playing, my daddy would be sitting on the porch reading the paper, and I would be out there, and every time somebody tried to mess with me, he would look over that paper, and I would say, I'm tough now, because my daddy is watching. I want you to know, Jesus is back home now with the Father, sitting on the right-hand side, intercessing for you. He said, I submit my spirit to my daddy. I'm back with my daddy now. Nobody can ever hurt me. But he said, I'm coming again, and I won't be coming as a servant. I'm going to be coming as a king. I'm going to come to judge this world. Are you out there this morning? The real prodigal was Jesus. And that's why Jesus could tell this story.